Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Eric Koch Part 3 interview. This was a special episode because, as you all know, my dad passed away, and his dad had passed a year prior. So we basically gave a ode and a homage to both our fathers. So thanks for checking it out. Peace.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome back for the third time, MMA fighter, UFC fighter, Destiny 2 master, Eric Koch. Thanks for coming again,
man. Feels so good to be back.
That barbecue was delicious. Ooh, pound on that barbecue.
We killed some barbecue.
You like that place?
Oh, really good. Really good. Our secret place.
All right, we're not gonna reveal it.
Let's not go too deep. Don't go too deep into it, all right?
It's been a heavy week for me. As you could see, my dad passed, and I wanted to make this episode on both our fathers. Yeah. Because your father and my dad literally passed away a month apart. Mm-hmm. Your dad went July
21st.
And my dad just passed away August 18th, a week before my birthday. So, And that's why I thought we're going to get into the fighting and the gaming, but I just thought it'd be just to honor both our fathers. I just wanted to reflect upon, you know, their lives and our experiences dealing with all that turmoil. And so there's no way to prepare for something like this.
There's no way to prepare. The biggest thing is, both our experiences were a little bit different. You knew your dad was sick. Yeah. Mine was kind of abrupt, but there's a lot of similarities. You're never ready for it.
And even the way our mothers kind of dealt with it as well.
Right. And well,
the way they are, like,
you know, like I was telling you, I think, for siblings more, it's a step to that next stage. You know, like that. Me and my brother talked about it for hours, man. Because we were crushed. You know, everybody knows I was really close with my dad.
Yeah.
When that happened, my safety net was taken underneath. Safety net. The person I went to for all my problems.
Yeah.
You know, whether financially or mentally or anything.
Yeah.
You know, I went to him. It was gone.
Yeah.
So now it's like, in a selfish way, I'm like, what am I gonna do?
Yeah.
You know, what am I gonna do? But it's one of those things, and that's why, you know, I wanted to reach out to you, because when I did, you know, when
I appreciate you for being there, because while that was one of the hardest weeks of my life. And the thing is, I think at the end of the day, I thought there was hope still, but there was a time at the hospice there in Gilbert where the nurse, when I found out they've quit feeding, cause my dad had a feeding tube in his belly button. Mm-hmm. When I realized like, oh, we stopped feeding him.
Yeah.
And me processing that was like very hard. Cause I'm like, well, what do you mean? Like, I had a hard time like grasping that concept.
It's that moment you realize there is.
There's no hope. This is it. And then on top of that, my whole thought about, I didn't know what a hospice, like I kind of knew what it was, but I thought, oh, it's like a nursing home, but it's a place where people go to die, basically. Yep. Yep. But the moment she said that, that's when we all lost it. And that's when we mourned the most. And then to add on top of that, that was when he was the last day I remember him being coherent and there and present, although he was weak, obviously. He couldn't really open his eyes. Mm-hmm. So when you dealt with, I mean, how did you find out the news?
But you want this up?
Yeah, just push it back a little towards
me. Oh, there.
Thank you.
Okay.
Jeez, technical Greg.
No.
It's like we're trying to get into the moment here, and he's like, all right.
Like I said, when you went to the hospice, that hope that you have. Mine wasn't quite like that, but I was telling you guys before I got the call. I was actually playing video games at 6 a.m. with Craig.
I remember that.
I'll never forget what I was doing. We were doing the Whisper.
You guys were playing the Crucible.
The Sniper. No, yeah. I was doing the Sniper thing. Yeah. And I got off to go to bed, and I got a call from my mom. I rarely get calls from my mom.
You mentioned that.
Now, I love my mom. I love her to death, but she's the independent.
Same with mine.
Yeah, right.
They like doing their own thing.
Right. Yeah. So getting a call from her, especially at 6 a.m, I knew something was up.
Yeah.
I felt it. I felt it in my gut. And as soon as I picked up the phone, I knew.
Yeah.
Because I heard her voice. And the biggest thing that, you know, she told me, she's like, your dad's not breathing. Your dad's not breathing. I don't feel a pulse.
Mm.
And my mind's going to, why are you calling me, mom? Call a paramedic. Like, call somebody. Not knowing that maybe my mom witnessed him have a heart attack and now she doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Like, get somebody there. And that was kind of, when we talk about hope, that was the same thing. That was the longest 15 minutes I've ever waited. I don't have any contact. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping my dad gets resuscitated. But deep down, I knew.
Yeah.
I came to terms. I didn't come to terms. Like, it was the shock power. And like I said, I dropped to the floor, dude. I've never felt so paralyzed fear. Yeah. Like I was dreaming. And I was hoping I was dreaming. Because I spent all night playing video games. I was hoping I was asleep.
Yeah.
And I'm literally smacking myself like, wake up.
I felt the same thing.
Yeah.
I felt like while it was happening, while I was witnessing, just throughout the whole week, I'm like, this has got to be a dream. This is not real. This is not real. This can't be happening to me and my family. There's no way. There's no way. But on the third night before he went, because this hospice had 24-hour visiting hours. So I'm like, I'm going to. You know, we visited him, but I'm like, I'm going to take a shower, come back. I'm going to spend the night. I'm going to stay here all night.
Yep.
So that night, he had his eyes closed the whole night, but there was a moment around 2 a.m. or something where out of nowhere, he just like opened his eyes and he was staring at something in the ceiling. Something that, because I feel like I don't want to get superstitious or conspiracy theoried out, but I feel like, because I did research, I think he was going through a deathbed vision. It's called DBV.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is before a person's about to pass, a day or two or whatever, they usually are visited or like they have visions of, it's always mostly a deceased family member.
Right.
So that scared me because I was like, I was watching Rocky 2 because, I was there for a while. Mm-hmm. And then I look over and then I'm like, oh, my God. And I document it. I try to get a quick flick of it, but it scared the crap out of me. Yeah. And that was literally the last time he had his eyes open like that.
Open.
Yeah, and it was like a bad dream. Like, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just want to add on. It was like a freaking bad, the worst dream you could ever have.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people in the hustle and bustle, the grind of every day, everybody's so worried about the stuff you got to do. And nobody really. We all know we're going to die, but we don't think of that every day, you know?
No. And as far as mortality, like...
Right. For me, the biggest wake-up call I had was my dad was a healthy guy.
I know. He worked out all the time. Yeah,
he worked like crazy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Killian, he always played that, I'm not going to be around forever. He would say that all the time. He's like, I could go any day.
That's chilling.
And he tells me that.
Yeah.
And he would tell me whenever his coworkers, another coworker died from having a heart attack.
You mentioned that the other night.
Right? So, like, he would say that stuff. Me and Keone just, healthy. You're healthy, Dad. You're good. But we thought at least he's going to live till he's 90.
Yeah.
So, like, when this happened.
It was a shock.
It's like, it really, I mean, I know people use it all the time, but you just never know. You never know. So, like, cherishing that, those times with your parents, your siblings, your friends, it's, for me, we obviously got to grind. We got to make money. We got to make living.
Yeah.
But you got to cherish the times you have with your loved ones.
Not only you that, have to. I'm with you on that. I'm on board with that. And that's one thing I won't regret, because I know I don't have too much going on. I just, this podcast, whatever. I was willing to drop everything. This is another thing I noticed. Okay, this hospice, a lot of the doors were open in the other rooms. Mm-hmm. And I would like peek in there. And I'm telling you, most people, they would be in there alone.
Right.
And and this one lady, which freaked me out. Like, I saw her in there like 2 days. And then the third day I went, I looked in there and she had already passed. Like, all of her stuff was gone. Wow. There was like, they're getting ready to like for a new patient to get in there. So the main thing before I lose my train of thought is we showed up. We showed up and I spent as much. I could have spent more, obviously, we both could have. But I think that, I mean, I don't want my brain to use that against me. Like, hey, you should have been more present.
Well, I was just going to say, it's kind of a selfish thing we think about. Like, how you're worried about how you feel, like not being there enough or what. Everybody does that. I did that. Me and my dad had the best relationship. Anybody that follows me knows my dad. I got him tattooed
four years
ago on my chest. I know.
Yeah, I saw.
So, I had such a great relationship with my dad, but even I was beating myself up because there was a time where, you know, me and Lindsay were fighting and we were going through some stuff, and I kept telling my dad I was going to go back, and he kept hounding me like more than usual. Like,
about what?
You need to come back. We need to go fishing.
You mentioned this the other night. Yeah.
And so I didn't go back. Usually I go back every other weekend or something.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm close with all my family. I want to see all of them. But when I was going through that, I didn't go back for a month and a half.
Yeah.
And I had a feeling that I had to go.
Like what, internally something?
Internally, not that I thought he was going to die, but I felt like I need to go. I just, something, impulse, I needed to go.
It was a gut feeling.
Yeah, yeah, I went, and I went for a week.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where a lot of the memories I cherish. They're not crazy, but the last, never forget the last meal.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the last hug.
Yeah.
So, it's important.
No, it's important, man. I feel you. Shit, I don't want to, you're almost about to. You're doing something to me right now.
But you know, it's just, if anything from this podcast, like, you go through this.
Yeah,
this was my biggest fear. Like I said,
and mine,
like,
too.
No bullshit. My dad, I was so close with him. Yeah. My biggest fear was when he passed, and it happened like that.
I feel the same way. And now that I'm processing this, I think a piece of me is still kind of in denial about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm going through, because it was like a tidal wave of just horrible days, you know. And even the morning of when the hospice nurse called, that was like one of the worst days of my life. Because like, to hear your mother,
it's the worst,
in panic, like, oh, you know, and like. I just remember like me getting up, because I didn't sleep that well in Arizona, because I was just tripping on the whole week.
Right.
But then just that drive to the hospice, we literally got there. He took his last breath and we walked in literally like 3 seconds later. And it was so surreal and bizarre and just frightening. And oh man, it was like a bad, it was a horrible day.
I'll tell you, man. Like, it goes in waves. Like, that week happens. You're so tired, because I was the same way. I didn't sleep.
How could you?
You get so tired that your body literally shuts off. Like, no matter how much you'll fall asleep. You'll pass out.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, but it doesn't hit you till later. And it's the little things. The little things. Like, my dad called me every day. I don't get that dad. When it says dad, like, I don't get that anymore. And that was something I did every single day. I talked to my dad. So, like, not that's getting great, that man. Anymore
yeah, yeah.
is
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And
it's
let's I want to add something. I want to give a positive twist to this because, hey, great job your last fight, brother.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.
You, even on Ariel Helwani's show and all these interviews post that last victory of yours, you look great at 170, by the way, you talked a lot about your dad.
It was all.
So, like,
it was all about
my dad. Ask you something, like, as far as your preparation, and that was to give, that was like in homage to your pops.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
That was all my dad. So, I mean, I'll go back. I told you about this, and I may choke up when I talk about this. But when I was slated to fight Aldo way back in the day, I had a buddy, Anton, you know who you are. You watch this. He used to do a radio show, like a pretty big MMA radio show. They did BJ Penn for a while. They were
like
associated
maybe like
with Chael Sonnen
type thing. Like what he does. Or?
Well, like it was. I mean, it was way back in the day.
Oh,
but
back.
They were partnership with BJ Penn.
Right, right, right.
And at the time, it was for BJ Penn, and they did an interview. I was scheduled to do an interview. You know.
Yeah.
And I'm super super close with these guys. They know how much I love my dad.
Yeah.
And I go on to do this show. And then before I go through all the questions, how I'm feeling, all that, you know, leading up to the fight. And they told me, they go, "Hey, Coke, all right, before you go, we just want you to know we got a surprise guest. We got a surprise guest for you." And my dad came on.
Oh,
and he put,
wait, on the radio show?
On the radio show.
Oh, that's crazy.
So then they, you know, I'm there and I'm like, "Oh, Dad, you know, what's up?" You know, and they're just asking him questions, interviewing him with me on the line, like with me on the call. And just how much he was talking, like going way back to the day, I wasn't an easy kid to raise. You know, I was my own hellion. I was going to do what I want. But how much he said he was proud of me.
Oh, that's great. And
just the sincerity through his voice.
Yeah.
I was in shambles.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, you
and,
broke down?
I broke down live on
the radio, on the radio show. Because
the most important thing to me was not my dad's approval. My dad's always approved of anything I've done. Just doing something in his name, in his honor. Yeah. You know, he was such a great dad. I wouldn't be who I am. My brother wouldn't be who he is if it weren't for my dad. So I wanted, you know, that fight, that was like title fight. I'm like, I'm doing this for my dad, you know? So we go down this road, you know, my career's had so many ups and downs. Yeah, and I never got that shot. After my dad passed, you know, I felt, not selfishly, but I felt like I haven't done enough. I know that's not what he thought. He was proud of me no matter what I did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
I think you're being hard on yourself.
I was being hard on myself. Yeah. But you know, I always wanted, I've been fighting in the UFC for a long time. I always wanted to get my dad a new car, a new house, because he did so much for me financially. Like, I wouldn't even been at the spot that I needed to be to fight in the WEC UFC if he hadn't financially got me there. I mean, I love my mom to death, but my mom's like the hard-nosed parent, right?
Yeah.
My dad would go behind her back. He even risked their marriage at one point to help me get through what I needed to do to get to where I'm at. So I was thinking about that interview, you know, after he passed, because I felt like I have unfinished business. I've had ups and downs in my career where I'm like, maybe this is the end of the road. Maybe I could see myself doing something else, you know, and with anything you get bored. You get bored or you get run down, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're in a tough line of business.
It's a tough job. And I've done it since I was 16.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't realize that you have been around, like, Diaz and, you know, all these other...
Half my life.
All these other cats, you've been around too.
Yeah, half my life I've been fighting professionally. So, you know, with all that shit that happened after my dad passed and I thought about that interview, I more thought, and it's cool because my brother did a great job. He put up a memorial in our gym.
That's great.
Of you know, dad and pictures of us and all, you know. Yeah, we had a jacket for him. We called him Old Breed because my nickname was New Breed. We called him Old Breed.
That's
so
awesome.
It's got his name engraved in there. And I just thought, you know, after this, I have been hard on myself a lot. I'm my biggest critic. You know, I'm hard on myself a lot. I just thought, what would my dad want me to do? What would my dad, after he passed, what would he want me to do? For years, he's told me to go up and wait.
Yeah.
He hated me cutting weight. Right.
Yeah.
Even right before he passed, he's like,
"You should go."
He's
up.
Like, "I could see you ending your career at 185." You know, like,
yeah.
He was always against cutting weight. He was against that. I know through the ups and downs of my career, so he just wants me to be happy. He was never like, "You got to do this." He was like, "Do what you want to do. Do what makes you happy." So I thought about it, and you know, a couple weeks after he passed, my manager called. You know, just talking about, you know, how you doing, you know, stuff like that. And he's like, "When do you want to fight?" And I say, "I want to fight right now."
Okay.
I want to fight right now.
Yep.
Not in an aggressive sense. Not I'm mad against the world. My dad would hate me to be like that. You know. Just the little nuances. I'll go to my last fight. The little nuances. I used to, you know, staring down with my opponent. I used to mean mug. Nah. I've changed my mindset in a sense, the way my dad would want me to go about things, not holding hatred, not holding any negative energy, being as positive as I can. And that whole fight, the whole camp, everything, we had that memorial right in front, like facing the big pat or the big mat we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I jump rope, just stare at that picture, jump rope. And we talk about it, you know, me and my coach Duke Rufus talk about it, having your why.
What does that even mean?
Your motivation.
Oh.
What's your why? Some people, it may be their, it may be themselves. It may be your kid.
The common answer would be like the belt. I want the belt.
Right.
Or something
and
like that.
And my why, I figured out, and this is crazy because I told you about when I talked about that picture of a dad handing that last piece to their son, like giving them advice, right?
Yeah, that was the one.
I felt like in my dad's passing, he left me a gift. Because for so many years, I think I was fighting for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
I think I was fighting because everybody told me that's what I was.
A fighter.
I was a fighter.
Yeah.
Well, I need to fight because I'm a fighter. I need to make money, right? I'm a fighter.
Yeah.
So after that happened, and I just, you know, I thought about it for a couple months. And I'm like, dude, when I'm at my best, I'm having fun doing this. I love doing this. I'm a martial artist. I'm not a Conor McGregor. I'm not going to go out and talk a bunch of shit. I grew up doing Taekwondo. I'm a martial artist. I don't want any negative thoughts, negative energy.
Yeah.
And that last fight camp went so smooth. I even had a little knee hiccup, like a little knee injury right
just
before the fight.
Banged it up real quick. No problem.
And no, I didn't stress.
Yep.
And I just the whole fight week, you know, I felt my dad's presence.
That's
I felt
awesome.
It the whole time. I felt going in there, I've never been so sure of anything in my life. I knew what I was. I knew I was going to win. I was going to come out with the W. Me, at the end of the fight, I got down on my knees, put my hand over my chest where my pops.
Yeah.
And I talked to him. I said, "We did it,
in
Dad."
In the octagon.
I told you. We did it.
In the octagon, baby.
You know? And I visualized all that before it happened.
That's amazing.
You know,
man.
So it, like I said, it sucks. It happens to all of us. We lose our parents. We lose ones we love.
Yeah.
But in his passing, I still feel his energy every single day. I was telling you the other day, energy can't be destroyed. It can only be changed. You know?
Can I be honest with you? Like, I know you feel that, but like since my dad, I know it just happened, but my whole thing is like, where did he go? Like, I don't, you know, like I... And that's one thing I'm struggling with. I'm like, I, you know, like even like, cause it's horrible that I have all these conspiracies in my mind
right.
as well, as far as the astral planes and higher dimensions. And
can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
That has changed because you know, my brother and I are very skeptical of everything.
Yeah.
Religion, even spirituality,
yeah.
all that stuff. We're facts. We like the facts. We like, hey, let's use what we know and make our decision based off that, right?
So you're going back to energy?
So I'm going back. I just want to tell you. I don't know if I've told you this story. I thought I did. I swear I've told you this story. But I'll say it for the sake of the podcast.
Yeah. Third.
I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. It's your third time here.
Third
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
I've never been religious.
Yeah.
I'm still against religion. I'm not.
If
you're religious, that's fine.
Yeah, that's
but
fine.
It's. I'm just.
But. Me neither.
It, right.
I don't go to church.
But even spirituality, I feel like maybe I haven't been tested enough, you know, spiritually to really open it up, to enlighten me. And I was skeptical, even when my dad, I'm thinking the same things you were thinking. I'm thinking, what happens to him? Like, you know, we don't know. And I'm kind of being a Debbie Downer, getting down on myself. So about 2 months, 2.5 months after my dad passed, I was staying at my mom's house. I moved back to be with my mom. I was training there. Keone and I and Brent all opened that gym. And I remember I was about to fall asleep. And I told myself, I'm like, you know, most nights, oh, still to this day, I think of my dad every single day, every single day.
Pictures. Yeah. It's on my phone. I made sure I grabbed as many pictures, like just the ones that I wanted out of a shoebox.
And, most nights I think of him, but I'll be dead honest. I wasn't thinking about my dad.
Yeah.
I was
Did he come into your dreams?
Yes. So this is crazy. Anybody that knows me, like I said, I'm a skeptic. I wouldn't throw this out if this shit didn't happen. Okay. So I went to sleep thinking, damn, I got a busy day. I got to get up early. I got a bunch of stuff for the gym.
Yeah.
So I was having this dream where I was with my family and we have like a big sunroom, bunch of windows, big patio doors. I was having this dream where, you know, my family was all there. My dad wasn't there yet in the picture, but my family was all there and we were playing some board games on the floor and watching TV in the other room and just a normal day. So I'll stop right there and I'll say the last conversation, that last meal I had with my dad, the last one-on-one meal. I told my dad I have never had a lucid dream. I've never had a dream where I knew that I was awake. And I could kind of
navigate
through it, never had it, and I've heard about them. Inception, all that shit. I'm like, why the hell don't I ever hear about it? So that was the last conversation I had about a month before he passed. So I'm having this dream with my family, and then all of a sudden, through these big patio doors, my dad walks in, and he's just got a big grin on his face, just smiling. Wow. And something jolted me because I said, I'm like, hey, dad, you know, and then something jolted me and it's like froze. Boom. Everybody else was gone instantly.
Just you and him?
Just me and him. And he's just looking at me and I go, dad, you're not here. You're gone. And he just kept that smile. And he goes, son, he's like, you wanted to know how I passed? Because when you're over a certain age and they don't expect foul play, they don't do autopsy. Like, okay, he passed, it was his time. But I was curious. I'm like, this guy is so healthy, kit takes so much like good care of his body, how the hell did this guy have a heart attack? Right? So I'm having this dream and he goes, okay, son, I'm gonna tell you, are you ready? And I remember specifically in the dream I'm smacking myself in the head like, Eric, remember what he says, because I'm like, a lot of times you dream and you forget it. I'm like, fucking remember this. So he goes, calm. He waits for me. And then he tells me, he's like, he just makes the little gesture. He's like, I had a blood clot traveled to my heart and through that valve, traveled to his heart. He died in his sleep. Didn't feel any pain. He made sure to, you know, he told us he didn't feel anything. He was gone like that. He's pretty much saying not to mourn, you know. You know you're going to mourn, but, you know, it's okay. Everything's going to be okay. And he gave me a big hug. And then I woke up like that. I got goosebumps right now.
A crazy story.
I had goosebumps. And it was about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Did you tell Keone?
So, this gets better.
Okay.
So, I have that dream. And first off, that's my first lucid dream.
Ever.
Yeah. Like, I've never had a dream.
That's crazy, man.
That detailed.
Yeah.
And so I wake up and I'm like, I'm in shock, you know, because it felt unlike anything else I ever felt. So I told Keone about this. Me and Keone, we're both skeptics. So even me, his brother, telling him something. I tell him this and I can see he's kind of like, oh, okay. You know, not like.
What's the age difference again with you?
8 years.
Your older brother.
Yeah, my older brother. All right. So he's like, oh, okay. You know, just kind of, I could see there's a little bit of skepticism. Doubt in there. So I told him, I'm like, bro, I'm telling you, like, if this happened a week, maybe two, three, the first month, I'd be like, I'd chalk it up to I'm missing dad. I told him, I'm like, I'm telling you, dad was not on my mind before I went to bed. I was super busy. I had a lot of stuff going on. If anything, that's the perfect time for him to come to me, for me to believe what he's saying.
Right.
Because
right.
If it would have happened within the first 2 weeks, I would have been like, ah, I'm just missing. This is my grieve, you know?
Well, I'm
just
I didn't grieving. Mean to interrupt. I'm hoping I could get a similar experience. I need a little bit
the thing, of you that, know, too. You know what I noticed?
Yeah.
I don't ask for it. It just comes.
It'll just come.
It comes, man. Right. You'll have an experience. I'm telling
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
So I tell Keone this, and, you know, a little skeptical. Well, we go down a couple months later down the road. My dad had a heart attack. He was super healthy. So yeah. my brother's got kids, you know, and he's young, but he's getting older.
Yeah.
He wanted to get a vital check of everything.
Physical. Yeah.
Like vitals though.
Mm-hmm.
Heart, all of it.
Like cholesterol.
All of it. Yeah. So he got it done. I get a call one day. He goes, bro, you'll never fucking guess.
What?
And I'm like, what? He's like, well, don't be alarmed. But he's like, I got my vitals. Everything was good. They said there was one minor issue.
What's that?
And so I asked him, I was like, what is it? He goes, well, supposedly I have a leak in my heart valve. And they say that when you're younger, you don't have to worry about it, but you got to keep an eye on it because when you're older, it can turn into big problems. So then I said, okay, so what's that do when you get older? And he goes, well, they told me it can develop blood clots.
Genetics, dude.
And it is genetic.
Then that's evidence. That's actual evidence right there on the table, man.
But I had that dream, and that's what I said. That's the what blood I said before.
He told you.
That he got checked out.
Before.
I told him.
So that must have influenced him to think, like, wait a minute.
I don't think the dream, it wasn't the fact I had the dream. He wanted to get checked out because we knew it was a heart issue.
Yeah.
We knew it was heart, and Keone wanted to get checked out for his kids. But that was not the him being optimistic about me telling him that dream happened. Afterwards, he's like, dude, that's exactly what they said that can cause is a blood clot.
And look what happened.
That's so crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, like I've done so much research on afterlife and what I think happens and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's something. All I can say is that dream wasn't a dream. My mom told me that shit was a vision.
No.
That was a vision.
You were actually in a different dimension.
There was
something,
right. So, and that goes right along with what I told you from the beginning. Energy can't be destroyed. It can only be changed. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm comfortable, but I'm telling you, man, I talk to my dad all the time. It may not be the same. It's not the physical, but I'm telling you, when I say shit, I feel I'll get goosebumps. Like,
yeah,
I feel that energy, man. Like I said, in that fight,
yeah,
there was no, well, if I win or lose, no.
You know, but one thing that you forgot to mention is I think you did so well also because this is a major thing in sports that, like, if I did this at the state tournament in the 90s, I would have at least placed in the state. But just being relaxed.
Yeah.
Being relaxed. And not only that, being loose and having fun. Like,
right.
With a lot of these sports, man, like, there's so much pressure on it that you shy away from being in the moment and being present.
Right.
And I think that your last fight, you were present and you were in the freaking moment and the results. And I think that you weren't even thinking about the results. You just had a you just knew that you're going to do your thing.
Dude, I'm telling you. I don't want to make it seem like there's a big plan of the universe and shit like that.
Yeah,
but I've never been so sure of something in my life.
See what I'm saying?
You know, like, and, you know, that's sports psychology. A lot goes with that. But that goes back to that why I was talking about. You always fight harder when you have a why.
You have a reason.
My why is my dad was a quiet man that kept to himself.
Yeah.
But was a great fucking person. So,
same with mine.
Right. So what I want my job to be, this fighting isn't all about me. I think he deserves more credit. I want his legacy. I want his name to live on based off what his sons
do. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's my why.
Yeah, that's crazy. I You know, I was, you know, I've been struggling. Obviously, this podcast is doing a little bit better. It's getting better, more subscribers. But I was never like the breadwinner in my family, obviously, you know. But I mean, before my dad passed, the last time I went to visit, I was the first time ever that I was able to give him cash, you know.
Right.
And so, I mean, I'm glad that moment happened because it's like he literally passed away.
You got like, to do it.
I got to do it in front of him.
You got to do it.
He saw me put the money on the table and I don't think if I didn't do that, I could, like, that would have been eating me up.
It would eat you up.
Yeah, so I think that I'm glad that it wasn't a lot of money, obviously. I'm not, like, making bank or anything.
No.
But I think it was the thought, you know, or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, and naturally, when we lose a parent, we go through the self, I could have done this, I could have done this.
Yeah.
It's hard not to beat yourself up, but it's important not to. The most I tried to do, because there was a time, like I said, I'm like, what am I going to do, man? What am I going to do without this guy? You know, whenever when I dealt with depression, that was the guy I went to. Finances, that's the guy I went to. Like everything I did, this guy was there for me.
He had your back.
So like, but what I was telling you guys yesterday, I matured more in 1 year than I have in the 29.
Not only that, your perspective has shifted tremendously.
Big time.
I think that's partly the reason why I feel like you're on the right track. Finally, you're at a weight where you're not, you have energy as well. I mean, we didn't even mention that. It seemed like you had a lot more energy. Like,
Well, my dad's been hounding me for years to do this. What I take from it is my dad would tell me stuff and I'm like, Dad, you don't train. You don't train. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It always came back to, I know what I'm doing. Right. In a sense, the irony in it is I'm listening to him more now in his passing and I'm having fun.
Yeah.
Me and my brother, you know, making this business work,
yeah.
You know, and we're turning that around and that's going really well. You know,
it's the gym,
Hard Drive.
It's the gym.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Our gym.
Can we give a quick shout out?
Yeah. Yeah.
To that?
Quick shout out.
So if you're in the Midwest, we're in Iowa,
Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Yeah.
Hard Drive, performance center, jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, MMA. Yeah. We do it all. Both business partners, me, my brother, Keone, and Brent Stepanek, who was also in my corner for the last fight, which, speaking of that, shout out to Brent too, because he was actually the first guy. He's done, I think, two tours in Iraq. But he was the first guy there when my dad passed and he was there for my mom and stuff like that. So very close, you know, we don't even think of him as a friend. He's family to us.
Yeah.
So, big shout out to him. But yeah, man,
how is your brother, how did he deal with your dad's passing?
Dude, we both. I mean, it was like you said, when you're hearing your mom, that's true. Because there's multiple things on multiple levels.
Yeah.
Not only did you lose a parent that grieves, but then when you hear the other parent, like,
it's
coming
not,
from a place you've never seen.
It's
like,
so frightening,
so hurting,
and scary.
Yeah, yeah.
And not only that. Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
My mom's been literally like an in-house nurse for what, 8 years or so. And to add to that, she actually extended my dad's life because she's the one that decided to put the feeding tube in his belly button.
Yeah.
He could have passed 8 years ago.
That's crazy. Cause
I want, cause she felt like guilt and stuff. And I'm like, dude, you went above and beyond. Please don't be like that.
Yeah.
It's
out of your control.
You did a great job, you know, but, going back to, I forgot my train of thought. What was I talking about?
Just hearing your parents mourn or...
Yeah, okay, so my mom, that was her purpose. Okay, the theme is purpose. Her purpose was get up, get him out, get the tube feeding going, wipe his ass, put him in the living room. You know, like she had like her things to do. But now, my worry now, because I'm dealing with this, we're all dealing with this as a family unit.
Right.
What are you going to do now?
Because
if you get, you know, obviously if you get used to doing the same crap every day after day after day, you get used to doing that. But then once something has shifted, what do you do then?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping eventually she'll get a dog or I know she's against it now because her whole thing's like, I don't want to take care of another living thing. And I just want to be. But it's like I'm like, hopefully, because I know it's still fresh, but hopefully through time she'll be open because I don't want her to be. Like, my mom is similar to your mom in the sense that they're independent women.
Yeah.
And they're fine doing their own thing.
Right.
Like,
right.
My mom could sit there, watch her Korean dramas, BTS, whatever she does. Yeah. You know, that's her thing, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I want her to at least find that other purpose of what, because, you know, I want her to, like, have, like, you know, a good life after this as well, like, for her to move on. You
right.
know?
Well, and even, you know, I'll, speaking of moms, you know, well, first, I want to go back because you say, how did Keone take it?
Yeah.
So, you know, I talked to my mom. My mom, she was distraught, but she calmed down and told me he's gone. That was it.
Yeah.
I lost it. And then Keone called me. Keone called me about 5 minutes later. And I've never heard. You know, Keone's my big brother. He's been the guy. It. He's the tough guy that I looked up to as
me
a kid.
Me too. I got,
you know?
I got like, the older brother too
and,
as well.
And, you know, we were both at such a vulnerable state. That was probably the most hurt both of us have ever been. Because my dad, even with the gym, I wasn't back home, but he, you know, Keone, even if Keone, if you thought Keone, his grass was too long, my dad was over there mowing it. He wouldn't even ask.
That's
great. He'd just do it. And it's crazy the support we got from the entire block.
Oh, the
we
community got
everybody him? Because everybody loved him because he worked loved working outside made the yard look really good, but onto you know my mom was overweight, not obese like really bad, but she was overweight. She didn't get enough exercise. My dad was always on her about it. When my dad passed, you know, my mom was big on computer, like Second Life, stuff like that. She stopped all of it.
That's a video game, right?
Like, yeah, yeah. Okay. But it's like a Second Life.
Yeah,
you
live you create your own
you
character.
You think Destiny is bad? That's...
Where you could go to the mall
you're,
there.
Yeah, you're living another life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So she did that, and she quit it all right away. Now
I think that's positive, man.
Yeah, it is. Well, and what my dad would have wanted...
Is that...
What I notice, everything that's happening, he had such an effect on everybody. And us being kind of assholes, when he told us to do it, when he was here, we didn't do it. But now we realize, you know, we've always known how important he is. But now that he's gone, to honor him, I notice our entire family are taking steps to better themselves. And our family's super, super fucking strong right now.
Right.
And
right.
Even in his passing, like I said, he gave a gift. He gave a gift in his passing. I'll miss that guy every single day.
Dude, it's a blessing, man. It's, you know.
My dad, he always hated, and he would always tell us, when I die, I'm going to die. Don't, you know, don't fret about it. Like, life goes on, you know. He said that all the time. And like I said, we kind of joked like, Dad, quit being negative, you know. But he wouldn't say it in a negative way. And the more I think about it now, once we got past the grieving, and it's healthy to grieve. You need to grieve. You lose somebody that means the world to you. You need that. That's healthy for you. It's good to cry. It's good to get. Shit, man. UFC, I bawled my eyes out. They put my arms in the air.
I won.
I even have people, why is Coke crying like a little bitch? I'll cry all fucking day.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how much that man cared for me. Yeah, I did that all for him. That wasn't for me. So I think it's good to take what I learned from that. Take positives from everything. There's going to be bad shit. Without bad shit, there wouldn't be good shit.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Without pain, there wouldn't be joy. They two need to exist. So the most I take from it is now I see my family is pursuing things that they normally wouldn't pursue. My mom's lost like 30 pounds.
You mentioned that.
She retires next month. She wants
amazing.
To travel all
amazing.
Over. You know, like,
amazing.
So, you know, hell, man.
Dude, that's a good thing.
If your mom ever wants perspective or wants to talk to somebody, my mom might help her out.
You know, on a positive note, my mom did a day or two before I came back to L.A., because I stayed longer.
Yeah.
She woke up one morning. She did a bunch of a grip of stuff. Like, she went to the Toyota dealership. Then she went to the gym. Then she was, like, looking at their yoga class. And then so I was hyped on that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
She's already, like, doing the right steps.
It helps keep your mind.
Yeah.
Up. You know, keeping busy.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll know the hardest times are when you're alone and the gravity of the situation hits you. I mean, for me, whenever I think, okay, I'm past it, you know, I'm with my dad, I still have those days where I'm like, I'm 30 years old and I'm, if I live my life till I'm 90, even 100, That's
yeah,
60-70 years without my dad.
That's crazy. Like, yeah.
You know,
it's crazy you brought that up because, like, going back to the numbers and age and everything, like, my dad, what, he passed 81, mm-hmm. and I'm halfway there practically. Yeah, yeah I am.
Well,
so yeah. that's why you're saying, well, it gives you, like, my perspective now. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't have that much time left on this planet. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's
like,
crazy because when we're born, we really don't have a lot of time. I was telling Craig when we went on that tour, like, you know, stuff that happened, 1920 stuff. In the large scheme of things, that really ain't that long. You know, it's really not. Our lifetimes aren't that long. I think, especially when you get older and you get into a routine, time goes by super quick. Last 5 years for me, I'm 30 years old. Yeah. I don't feel 30.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I'm younger than that. But I.
Me too.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, but I am.
But it puts it.
Age is age.
It puts it in perspective,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
And, like, for me, for Keone, it's, well, damn, our dad just died. And Keone's the same age he was when they had me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, yeah. It's one of those things, man. You just gotta, it, don't be fearful of death. That's don't be fearful.
I'm not.
But live life to the fucking fullest.
I hear that, brother. I hear that.
To the fullest.
I want to add another topic as well because, look, you know, your dad had you two, right? Keone and Eric.
Mm-hmm.
My dad had Bobby and me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't have kids though. But yeah. it changed that perspective because it's like when I was there, I'm like, oh, the sun showed up.
Right.
As for you, the sun showed up.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, what about us?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, well, like, because if I'm going at this rate, then I'm going to be the one alone in the nursing home.
Right.
Craig will visit me.
Craig is that good of a friend.
Homies will visit.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, that's what it made me realize. I don't know why it didn't hit me. It hit me more because of what I just went through.
Yeah.
But that's what kids are for.
Right.
They're for those moments.
Yeah.
To show up.
Yeah.
To be there for your, you know what
be
I'm
there
saying?
For the, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I've been, I don't know what I'm going through. I'm like, I'm looking at things differently. Like, not that crazy, but I'm like thinking of it. Thing, like topics
well,
more differently.
The best way I can put it, because I know what you're talking about, because I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
And I, you know what bums me out is my kids, if I do have kids, will never know their grandfather.
Right.
And he's just a great man. So like, but my grandfather got to experience his grandkids. He got to experience Ronan, Peyton.
Yep.
And that's more for him. He got to experience
that. Yeah.
Me not so much. Like, if I don't have a kid, like, I want kids, but if I don't, I think if I'm dying, I'm not going to be like, I should have had kids to come visit me. You know what I'm saying? I think it's more, we think we need stuff in this physical world. We still don't know what happens when we die.
I know. And I think, and that's the topic when I, you know, after, you know, when it's all said and done and I'm laying in bed at night and it's 4 a.m, I think about stuff like this. I'm like, I question this, like, what is this thing that we're doing? You know, like, where, why are we here? All that stuff. And it's like, I mean, I have a few theories, like maybe I feel like maybe this is a place to work out your karma, you know, and then because I feel like going back to the energy thing, I think that once, if depending on how we do each round or whatever, if we get cycled back in here, who knows?
Yeah.
But I think eventually that's when you can move up tiers, you know, like jujitsu,
right, you
know, purple belt, brown belt.
My mom's very spiritual and she always put it to me like this. It's not, she's like, always been described to me not as heaven and hell. Everybody seems like we're forced to do two extremes. You're either going to the worst place you could possibly imagine or you're going to the best place you could possibly imagine. The way my mom's always put it towards me growing up was, this is like a testing ground. Like a woman that's pregnant,
when they're
in the womb, you're developing, right?
Yeah,
you develop your fingers, you develop your ears, you develop all the stuff you need for this life here, right? And the way she pretty much said it, if your life is unfulfilled, it's almost like you may be cutting yourself short or holding yourself back to your full potential. No, does that make any
yeah,
sense?
Yeah, no, that makes perfect
and,
sense.
And
yeah.
And I mean that always seemed like that made more sense than, oh, you're going to hell if you didn't do what you were supposed to. And well, if we get into religion, that's a whole nother thing. Yeah, if God gave me free will,
exactly,
then he shouldn't punish me based on what he gave me.
Trip out. And there's another reason why I'm not down for that religious or like the church or religious stuff, because there's like two different extremes. It's like it's either you're in the clouds with the fat dude playing a harp, or you're in hell with Lucifer sticking a pitchfork in your butthole.
Right,
you know what
I mean? Right.
But what if it's like this? What if when you die, it's similar to like here, but maybe a little bit better, a little bit worse. I'm okay with that too.
Right, okay.
Because honestly, like I've had dreams where, like, not like you, not like lucid, where I'm like, I know I'm in control.
Have you ever had a lucid dream?
No.
See?
But I've been in dreams where I know that I'm in a dimension close to Earth.
Yeah.
There's stores, there's apartments, there's shopping malls, there's this, there's parks. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, this is similar to where I am when I open my eyes.
Right.
But like going back to the whole theory of like heaven and hell, like even if it's like different dimensions where it's kind of similar to this, maybe a little bit better. Maybe, right. You know,
well,
you won't get sick as much. I don't know. I'm cool with that.
So I'll touch on this. This is just something that I looked into a lot when my dad passed, especially after I had this dream. Right.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, I was in a dream state. But that felt like it was a different reality. Like it was,
you said,
like that was a vision, right? So even looking into it, and this is where we get into our hallucinogenics, even like DMT.
See what I'm saying?
But DMT is a naturally, it's a natural thing our body produces.
And it releases when you die, right? Like,
So this is what I learned. When you do dream, this is how the scale that they put it on. When you dream, it's like a drop.
Right.
It's like a drop hits that.
That gland. What
is it,
gland?
The adrenal gland? Or
yeah.
What is it?
Yeah.
But it hits, and that's what a dream is, right?
Yeah.
Not only that, when you dream, a lot of times you think dreams are long, right?
Yeah.
But it was short. Like, it was short, but it seems way longer. So it's the same thing if you've heard anybody trip on DMT. They say even if it lasts an hour, it feels like, you know, six.
Yeah.
You know, the time's kind of, you know, changed up. So I looked into it and they said that. They say when you dream, you get that drop. And they said, no exaggeration, when you die, it's a river.
So maybe my dad was tripping. He was tripping on some crazy things.
But not only that, what's not to say the shoot to the next dimension is that burst that happens. You know
dude,
what I'm saying?
Can I tell you a okay? So I didn't.
And
mean
I got
catch
another
off.
Thing to back yeah, that
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So when it was the day before my dad passed, me and my mom. I think my brother was out in the because the hospice had different areas, a kitchen.
Yeah.
I think he was out in the other area, but it was just me and my mom, and we're just sitting there in the room. But we both had it was almost like ESP,
because
you know a lot of people say like before they pass they see the light at the end of the tunnel or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But like my mom and we're at that moment we're like psychically linked, like
right.
Cuz I was thinking about that theory. I'm like, okay, light at the end of the cuz I have my own theories,
right.
But I'm thinking, but what if it's this, you know, people say light at the end of the tunnel, then you're greeted by, you know, Uncle Johnny or whatever,
right.
But what if it's this, what if that light is like, you know how like the Millennium Falcon goes into hyperspeed,
yeah,
and it like puts you into like a different galaxy,
yeah,
like solar system.
Yeah.
What if it's like that? What if like when your soul passes, that's when like the hyperspeed, like you morph into that thing, and then you just go to hyperspeed into a different dimension or something.
Right.
So we were both thinking this, the exact same thought, like, and it was just weird the way.
Well, and it goes back to, I mean, we don't really fully comprehend of what our consciousness, how to connect it with the physical.
Already?
It's
oh
10.
Man, this is just. This is just speeding
it's,
by.
What is it? 10?
10 minutes left. Dude, I feel like we just got started.
Oh, we
hey, part four, baby.
Wait, yeah, part four.
Yeah, part four, baby, and then Korean barbecue again.
But no, I wanted to touch just one more time on that, on that whole dream theory.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
So I was doing that. Well, my mom reads a lot of books. You know, Craig gets on me for not reading. Maybe I should. I'm just messing with you, Craig.
Yeah.
But my mom reads a bunch of books, and she read a book about people that have like the death experiences when they die, and they're brought back, right?
I need to get into that.
So So pretty much what I got.
Well,
from
they resuscitated
it, I need,
back.
Right.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
need
yeah,
to
yeah.
read the book because, you know, obviously I'm getting like the notes, right? I'm not getting all of it. But pretty much the way my mom explained it is it happened to a doctor who didn't believe in afterlife.
He oh, that actually experience, died.
That,
the doctor died.
That wrote this, that died and was brought back. And he said after that, he's without a doubt.
Believes.
He said, and everybody that they interviewed said they all had very different realities as an afterlife. They were all different. It wasn't like we're collectively together.
That's crazy. You said that. I like that.
I do too.
I like that theory. And you know, it's like a lot it's your own individual journey,
and
man.
And a lot of people, I think that scares them. But also, the people that this all happened to, not one of them said that they wanted to leave. They wanted to stay when
that's
they were
great.
Brought back.
Yeah.
So like that goes, you know, that goes to something once more. We can't comprehend it yet. When yeah. you die, like even when we talk other dimensions, we know there's a 4D, but if something's there in 4D, we can't see it because yeah. we don't have the tools to do
it's
it.
It's beyond our five senses.
Right.
It's
right.
beyond
right.
it. It's beyond
so,
that.
So if we're smart enough to know that there's shit higher than us, then
yeah.
without a doubt, something happens.
Yeah,
I feel like
I think so too, man.
Consciousnesses don't just
dissipate. No,
they're there, and I think they just travel. They, you know,
I would be cool with that, even if it wasn't like you know the heavenly pearly gates and
well, I don't
clouds.
Think it is that.
I don't care.
I think that's an easy way to yeah. think of what happens because we're all used to us all being collectively here.
Yeah.
So it's easy to think when you die, you either collectively go to the bad place or you collectively go to the good place.
Yeah.
That's very easy. That's yeah. so easy that it's almost a cop out.
Yeah.
I, you know, that's why I wish people would challenge their minds a little bit more and think more in depth, you know, about what happens.
But the thing is, in their defense, this is a hard thing to think about.
It is.
Because like, I think us as humans, generally speaking, we have so many defense
we're
like mechanisms and walls
yes.
are put up, and anything that goes outside of their collective thinking, as far as the afterlife is
right,
concerned,
right.
and you're questioning stuff, it's like no. This is you're gonna well, go, there's gonna be a book, and then you did this wrong. You did this. I don't think that's
well. It's like what happens when people are in the dark. You're a little uneasy because you can't see your surroundings. You don't know what's going on. It's the same thing. You know, people, that's an easy way to label it
right.
because it makes it easier for you to understand.
Yeah.
But in reality, I don't think that's the case at all.
Even if this is like worst case scenario, let's say it's just like light switch flicked off.
Yeah.
Right. Like once we pass me, because we're going to die.
You're just gone.
Yeah. But we won't even
have a conscience
exactly.
to even care.
Yeah.
But that's what scares people. That's what scares. But I explained that too. I'm like, when you.
Lights
that,
out.
And
boom.
That's why. Going back, it's important to live your life to the fullest.
Right, right.
Because I want to do all the things. I want to enjoy my life as much. And if that light does click on, well, I enjoy my life.
Yeah.
When I was conscious, I enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah.
I'm gone. I don't have a conscious, so I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Are you cool with this? Let's say, what if this is the scenario? You die, and then you're like recycled back into this. Let's say there's a matrix or a simulation.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Would you be okay with that? You wouldn't even know anyway. Because like,
I mean, you wouldn't know because
one,
it would be yeah. It would
and then
be,
you're back here as a cat or
different.
Like a
right,
or something,
right.
and you're,
be,
or a tree, and you're like, oh, I guess
right,
I'm a tree this
right,
round.
Right, recycled.
You know?
It'd be
yeah.
completely different.
I'm okay
it'd
with
be,
that.
Yeah, I yeah. mean, it's hard for obviously when you're talking about it here right now, we have a consciousness and we don't want to lose it, right? Nobody wants to die. Right? So
yeah.
it's scary to think about. I understand that.
But me and you are thinking about it because we both lost our dads.
Yeah, yeah.
So in that sense, I am thinking about it more than I ever would because
yeah.
I'm wondering, where the hell did he go?
Right.
Like, I was leaving when, you know, my dad's brother came and, you know, my dad had turned cold.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really hit me because we all left the room and I go, you know, Dad, come on, it's time to go. And I realized that... he wasn't, that's it. He
yeah.
ain't coming.
Yeah.
And so it hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
And I just stumbled to the ground and I was just like, oh my God, this is horrible.
Yeah.
And, well, this is not a comedy special, is it?
No. Hey, man.
But
you know, touching on that, and I was telling you this yesterday, you know, it hit me a couple cause I was afraid to see the body.
Yeah.
You know, I was afraid to see it because I was like, I want to remember my dad when he was alive.
Yeah.
But when I did it, you know, I put my hand on his hands. You know,
me too. I did too.
And, you know, on his head, I gave him, I kissed his forehead.
Me too.
And I felt calm. I felt
I'm
like
glad you got that.
And I'm so glad I did.
Yeah.
Because he looked relaxed. And right. I know that he died in his sleep. And here's the big scheme of things. We're gonna die. Okay? A lot of people have are unfortunate deaths. Murdered, you know, whatever. Crazy shit that got, you know, car accident, whatever, right? Knowing that my dad passed peacefully in his sleep, there's no other way I could want him to pass.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That like it made it easier knowing he didn't struggle. Yeah. So, you know, that's where, like I said, trying to find positive. Like, I'll miss that guy every single day of my life. But like I said, like, him passing peacefully in his sleep, him coming to me and saying, I didn't feel a thing. Yeah. And I'm telling you, the vision I saw, he was happy. There was no... He dealt a lot with depression. That's why we linked up so much on that. Yeah. He dealt with seasonal depression, and you know he would get in his funks, and he would stress.
We all do
stress. But yeah. His kids, everybody, he stressed. He stressed more than anybody I knew, mm-hmm. And it was cool to see because there was no stress. I've never seen him so carefree, just.
Yeah, my dad looked a bit content. Peaceful too. He just there's no expression. He was gone.
Just. But yeah, man. I mean, that you said it's not a comedy, but I think it's important. It's important to do this.
I wanted to do this. You know, a full week's gone by, and I just thought it would be a positive thing because we have that in common.
Yeah.
And that's pretty rare. Like literally a month apart.
Right. Well, anybody that's watching.
It's easier for me to process when another person's been through it. So I was like, and you were there, like you were really there for me. I'm sorry I didn't text you as much.
Oh, no.
I was in a dark place. I was like, I just didn't know how to, like there's no manual on how to go about this.
You know? You can have people tell you stuff. It's not going to make anything hurt less. You know what I'm saying? You've got it. But here's the thing. Going through that grieving process means you loved your dad.
I'm still getting the tattoo. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm getting a tattoo also of my pops.
But I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's good. That's why everybody needs that. You need that grieving period. You know, hopefully, you know, if you ever want perspective or help, like, I'm there to talk. That's why I hit you up because me, man, I told people that for years, man. Like, man, when my dad passes, that's going to be the hardest day.
Yeah.
And it just fucking out of nowhere.
You know, it's so weird how it's just happened. You know, it was because you prepare your whole life for something like that.
Yep.
And then once it's actually happening, it's almost so surreal and just messed up.
Like, yeah.
Whoa, what the hell is going on?
Yep.
And that's one thing I need a bit more time, you know, but.
Yeah.
That was not a fun day at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you'll have your ups and downs.
Yeah.
You're going to have days where you're like, okay.
Yeah. I'm mostly worried about my mom. I hope
I
hope her transition's positive and, you know, something she could.
And I mean, the most you can do is, you know, just be there.
Yeah. And that was a wake up call too. Cause it's like, all right, I got to really be there. Like, I got to visit more. Yeah. I got to, you know, cause like you said, we don't have that much time on the, people don't realize, dude, it's like, dude, we don't have that much time.
In fact, my dad told me all the time, he's like, the older you get, faster time goes. And like when you're a kid, you live day to day. You
seems
know,
like days lasted longer.
Right. Well, that's why. You live day to day. You didn't have much going on. You could do, I'm going to do this. And then you look forward to stuff. So it always took longer for like, I got a birthday party. And it took a long time for it to get there. When you're older and you got responsibilities, you got a job, we get set in a routine. It's almost like we're on autopilot. Yeah. You're just going. And then when you finally have that time to yourself to sit down and think, fuck, it's been 2 years. What the fuck happened?
Yeah.
You know?
Even like my birthday, it's just like, I still remember last
year. Right. Like it was, So I think that's what happens. But that's another reason sometimes you just got to sit down, enjoy life, and do shit that, you know,
I love doing this, but I like ever since this, it's like going back to like our days are numbered. I maybe I need to indulge in more art or make me make new music. I don't know what, but I think I should just, I just want to keep creating. Cause well, you know, at least that's something, you know, like you have your fights and you know, this is going to be up on the, on YouTube, but like that's another way. I just want to leave something behind, you know. Like,
no,
it's like a, you know, like artifact. Like, hey, he, you know,
I
mean, because at least you know, it's a sense of contribution to humanity if you like leave. Because art or anything like that, the sciences, art, that's what stays. And
you know, I always say, well, and you know, here's another thing, okay? Because I was talking about this, hard losing a parent, going with that, leaving something behind. I remember when my dad passed. So just a little thing. Just a tiny little thing. But when I was on my way, you know, Lindsay was driving me up, you know, after we got the news, driving me back to Iowa. So it's like a 3.5 hour drive the whole time. I'm just a wreck. But I, we stopped at a gas station. And, you know, I was thinking about it. But, you know, no matter how far ahead I am, if there's people behind me, I always open the door and open it for somebody.
Yeah.
I never just walk through. I've always done that. But I stopped. I stopped when I did it because I realized the reason I did that was because my dad did it. He never told me to. He never told me to when I was a young kid.
Led by example.
He led by example. He did that. And it was something I just do. Even not just trying to, not me being, I'm going to be the nice guy.
No.
I just naturally do it.
It's the right thing to do.
It is, and it's a small thing. But what's crazy about that is I got that from my dad, you know? I got a lot of my mindset, a lot of you know, just the whole reason I am who I am is because of my dad.
Yeah.
So when I tell you, like, even when our parents are gone, they're really not gone. They put time into raising you. They put energy into raising you. You are a lot of what, you're a product of what your parents have created. You're still that energy that your dad used. You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
I was the same thing. We were having drinks. Me and Craig were having drinks the other night, and I was just looking. There was a mirror at the bar, and I was just looking, and I'm like, I'm here because my dad's gone, but I'm looking at myself right now knowing damn well because of that guy.
And you're a part of
it. So is he really gone?
No.
No.
What a beautiful man. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, I'm glad we did this. Obviously, this is unlike any of the other episodes that we've done here, but I wanted to do a real one.
Well, and like I think it's
dude, just, I need this. I just need to, I need to sort through this. I'm just trying to find meaning in it all. Okay, hold up. Yeah, so first of all, you're always welcome here, brother. And this is always a second home for you, and you know that.
No,
We all love you, and let's shout out if your website or your gym and your Instagram, and then we'll Craig get you the airport.
Well, we'll just shout out, you know, Hard Drive Performance Center in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Instagram is I don't even know what my Instagram is. Cokehead. Is it Cokehead? So it's all one word, KOCH, EAD, and then UFC.
Yeah.
And since we're doing this for our dads,
yeah.
All the interviews I used to do, I always used to thank my pops.
Yeah.
To this day.
Me too as well.
Thanks, Dad.
And I got a shout out for this shirt that Sean Skellington made for me. And I think he just made one, but thank you, Sean. If you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/stevieweeby. The new patrons this week is Pat Libby, Heath Pleasure, YOLO Swaggins, and shout out to Jaime Soares to up in the tier to $3 to $5. I gotta give a big shout out to my main man Sang Hong Joseph Ong. He paid $500 for one album of mine.
Whoa.
So damn. And he's bought my albums. This is like his 10th time buying my albums, but shout out to you, brother.
That's cool.
That's mad some love. Support, yeah. $500 for Escapable Aquariums. If you want to buy, check out any of my music, it's stevieweebybandcamp.com. I have a new website, stevieweebyshow.com. The Instagram to this podcast is Instagram/QUANGOU. I promised a fan this. His girlfriend hit me up. Shout out to my main man, Simon King. It's his birthday, August 28th. This is going to be uploaded later, but so shout out to Simon King, shout out to Necro Electric Podcast, shout out to Losco Projects and WFE. Support those podcasts. Support Craig's movie Hollows Grove. Craig wrote and directed this. proud of him. He completed this fine project. So definitely download it, buy it if you see it at your local 7-Eleven or Walmart.
And I really enjoyed it.
Or Walmart.
Truthfully, I really did.
I did too.
I enjoyed it. It was a good
and
one.
It's even more enjoyable that your friend directed
it. For sure.
And if I'll have to check the P.O. box. I haven't done that as well in a while. Stevie's P.O. box is another thing we're doing where I unbox things that you guys send in. So send your stuff in to 1425 North Turkey Avenue, P.O. box 1391, L.A., California 90093. Ooh. We have a new vlog. It's going to be out before this, but it's check it out. It's called Stevie on the Streety. Check it out. It's I do interviews on the street, and it's you liked it?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, you'll like it. You'll like it. And with that being said, man, safe travels.
Thanks, brother.
This is like your second home.
Appreciate it.
There's no Little Ray's World this week. It's going to be the following week. Yeah, peace.